At one stage, we want to worship the Lord in freedom, in the freedom of the Spirit. And on the other hand, we want to be very diligent to break the word open in the right way. Those two things, they go together. And so when the Holy Spirit moves, even Scripture guides us. It says it, the Holy Spirit moves in our gathering under leadership. And then everyone has a gift. But these things are done in an orderly fashion. So open your heart. And then it might be that you experiencing the working of the Spirit is a new thing to you. Enjoy the journey. Embark on that journey and open your heart. Similarly, maybe you've come from a very Pentecostal background. You know all about worship and prophecy, but you may be not as skilled as understanding the word. Then grow with us in being a master builder with the words of the Bible. Amen? Both of those important. We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount since the beginning of the year. Maybe we'll be done by 2030. We'll see how it goes. Before the next World Cup, maybe. And then we're going on this morning. You know, last minute I realized I've got two sermons here, not one. So this morning I wrote in my notes part one. So have faith, oh, have grace with me. I will have faith. The Holy Spirit will help me here. I want to talk about the geography of prayer. The standing and the summit of the heart. Now, the standing we're going to do this week and the summit next week. Now, bear with me. I'm going to play with this idea of geography and location a little bit as a picture for our hearts. It's a little bit of, I'm going to use a bit of poetic language to maybe help reveal some things to us. We'll get to the geography of prayer just now. Who's heard it said, there's no wrong way to pray? Come on. Yeah. Okay. And you know what? There's times when that phrase is correct. But we must be careful here. Sometimes someone is a new believer, they come to faith, and they meet Jesus as their Savior, and now they are afraid to pray alone or in a group. And then maybe that's the right time to say, hey, there's no right or wrong way, just pray. Just pray out of your heart. Oh, we've got prayer here. Sorry for that. Is there anything else that wants to fall over here? Seems safe. But there's a place where we can also pray in the wrong way. I don't want to say this to scare you, but to help us, because we're going to see very clearly out of the mouth of Christ. And it's sometimes got to do with our heart more than our maturity. Because sometimes we think, hey, a mature person, they can pray. An immature person, they should not pray. No, in that sense, pray. There's no right or wrong way. But as we grow, there's ideas of the world, and there's a way things go down I'm just getting my words. Second service is here. Just breathe with me for a moment. Breathe in deeply and out. I did that for me, not for you. Now I feel better. Sometimes the ways of the world can just capture our perception of God and prayer in ways that if we can see that, we can take out the weeds. And with prayer, we have to do that. And with our perception of God in general. Now, let's read together. Now, last time I preached about this last four scriptures that I'm going to read again, just as a setting. Who remembers from the secret place to the streets? Okay. Now, read with me again. And when you pray, you must not. Is there ineffective ways to pray? Yeah. You must not. Okay? This is Jesus speaking. Be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues, in the street corners. These people are praying where they can be seen. So one wrong way of praying, or one prayer life that is not right, is one that is only there when there's others. That is one wrong way. And so we want to fix that. We want to touch that area of our life. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. What was the reward? To be perceived to be a godly person by human beings. But how does the Father perceive you? You see? Okay. Now when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So the right way to pray is to have a prayer life that is both a reality in secret and in public. That'll be one example. Let's go on. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles do. And we spoke about this. Taking a prayer, for example, the Hail Mary prayer, and repeating it as much as you can so that there's a blessing invoked. That's what the Roman Catholics might do. Jesus warns against that. Do not heap up empty phrases. In Islam, there's ways to pray, times to pray, and ways to bend your body. And once this becomes a routine, it can be just a babbling. Watch out for using the Lord's Prayer in that way. It was not given so that it can be rambled word for word and then one will be blessed. We must watch out. It gives us a framework for prayer, which we will unpack this week and next week. Speak rather to God as if he's a father than coming with a routine or a sequence or a program. Right. So there's right ways to pray, and then there's ineffective ways to pray. Now, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, here comes the form of the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, God was just looking after this service from the start. I didn't know the band was singing that song. That word, Karen, in the previous service, someone gave identical word. Just seeing the body working is really precious this morning. Donkey Garden. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. I'll stop there. Now, when I say the geography of prayer, the standing in the summit of the heart, I want to zone in on when you pray, say, Our Father, hallowed be your name. Now, Our Father, I'm going to focus on this morning, and hallowed be your name next week. When Jesus is saying, pray like this, Our Father, he's indicating a basis of relationship he wants us to stand in before God. Okay, that's why I say the standing of heart. Where is the heart? How is it standing before God? Now let's just play around with this a little bit. In life, you are literally in a certain location at one place. Okay. We're going to go to the heart just now. For example, if you get lost in the... Who's been lost in the mountain? Weinitzer? Was ihr Eikers? All right. Who's been lost in a vehicle? And then you're like, shucks, I don't have data. Like, how do I get out of this place? You get one of those townships in Joburg. Yes, jy moet kan navigate noord, oost, suid, west. Because if you're inside... there's no landmarks, okay? So I think all of us can relate to being lost at one time, but let's play with this idea. There's ways you can locate yourself physically. For example, let's say you're the east coast of South Africa and you went for a walk. Your friend's house is by the ocean, you went for a walk in the mountain and you are lost. A couple of ways you can find your way, okay? When you're on the east coast of South Africa, and it's getting dark, and you're going to follow the sun to get back home. You're going to go inland, okay? When die son sak in die weste. Die son sak in die weste is die leihard op sy beste, né? But now you're on the east coast, so you need to walk in the opposite way of the sun if you want to hit the beach. Are you with me? More or less. You might not hit it at the right place, but at least you'll be going in the right direction. If there's a stream, how do you use a stream? Water I've never seen a stream flowing upwards, okay? So if the water flows this way and you walk that way, you're walking away from the beach house, okay? The water is going to the ocean. So these are tips you can use to locate your physical position. And there's some tips and some signs to also locate the position of your heart. And we're going to end with that. How do you determine the current location or the standing of your heart? Because this is very important. Jesus said, when you pray, say Our Father. So this is a gate we need to get through for the rest of the prayer to have its full accurate effect. Is He a father to us or not? Are we standing in that place? This is very important. Now, the heart must be at the right place. Pray then like this, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Now, let's talk about religion and let's talk about family. In the world, Christianity is vastly different than other religions. What Jesus is saying here, Our Father, it was revolutionary, it was offensive, it was a big thing. Let me explain. If you take Hinduism for a moment, Hinduism have this word karma. You've heard it before, no? Okay, what does karma mean? If you do good things will come to you. Okay? If you do bad things will happen to you. Okay? What you put in to the machine will determine what pops out at the other side. This is a transactional belief. I must give one thing to get this thing. If I give another thing, I get that thing. Right. Buddhism, it says, Buddhism is not very works driven in the classical sense, but it does teach if your life puts more positivity into the world, when you die, you will be reborn as something that is good. Maybe an eagle. If you do bad things, as jy swak goed in die machine sit, in your life, and you're a thief, and all the bad things, whatever, and you die, you might come back as a kakarlak. And everyone's going to want to spray you or kill you. You see, if you're eagle, they adore you. So watch out how you live, because it will determine your reality in the next life. See, vending machine, wat jy insit, wees versigtig. Muslims, if you're heaping up the right string of prayers, the right time of day, the right type of clothes, it's very near to Israelitis. Watch out. The right clothing, the right time, the right words, you put it in, Allah will have grace on you. He's a gracious one, but only if you put the right things into the machine. Now, unfortunately, what happened to the Pharisees is something quite similar. God's people had this idea of Him as a great father. He was the one in the Old Testament, time after time, like a dad fetching his children at the wrong party. God came every time and rescued His people. And there was this perception of Him being a great father. We see it in the prayers and the writing of David. But at one stage, the Pharisees murkied that water by piling up all the things you must say, not say, the clothes you must wear, not wear, the way you clean your cup, the way you present yourself to people. In such a way that the fatherly side of God fell away. And God was a vending machine, quite a lot like all the other religions you find in the world. And then comes Jesus and He says, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases and do not worry too much about how you're perceived in public. When you pray, I want you to do the following. Say, Our Father. Offensive. Because the Pharisees are standing there and they're like, we've been building our whole lives to be close to God, and you are telling us that this guy sitting here, filthy, can come to God as a father and have that type of access. Are you crazy? The hours we've put in to get to this place of religiosity has been our lives. Now, this guy can pray to God as a father. you have to understand. It's like studying a 20-year degree and then someone comes in and gets the job. Jesus said no. And you're like, what? Very offensive. And there's a reason for that. This is very, very important. Read this next slide with me. For you did not, if we can go to slide 9, please. You did not what? Receive spirit of slavery, okay, to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba Father. The spirit bears witness that we are what? Children. It's very important here that in the Christian faith, we are accepted not on what we put into the vending machine, or but what we did, but what Jesus did. He lived the life that we should have lived, and he died the death that we deserve. That whoever believe in him will receive sonship. Very important. So in the Christian faith, you are family first. This is what the world works for. You get it. You receive it in Christ, and then what comes out of you is a life that looks different. It's the opposite to the world. This is very important. Now, let me not go ahead of myself too far. Let me just play around with this a little bit. Every one of you, the moment you go up to a person, you are in a standing with them when you communicate. And one could say there's two big extremes. The one is family and the one is transactional or business. Okay? When you go to the Snoopy, you enter a relationship which has a basis. What's the basis? The tiny buddy Snoopy at like a JC's, right? And Yesuk like a JC's. So you go and you say, Tanixuk 5 JC's, can I tap? So you say, no problem. Can I also get a packet of chips and a chocolate? The basis is we're going to exchange money for snacks. If I go to Amanda right now and I say, Amanda, can I please have 3 packet of knickknacks and 5 JC's, can I tap? It's, the basis does not work because she's not behind the Snoopy, and so I'm sounding incoherent. Ek klink mal. Okay? And so there's a different basis here. When Jesus says, pray our Father, he wants us to get to the right standing with God. It's very important. So if you find, for example, a tourist, it happened to me the other day, that says, hey, I'd like to find this place called Burgundy. Where is it? Immediately, we share common ground. There's a basis. I've been lost before. He is lost right now. I live here. So I can say, okay, so what you do is you walk this way around that corner. You can't miss it. If I say, you know, there's also other great places in this town that you might also consider. Mikru, Ocean Basket, Hassar Grill, Innisfil, go for it. These are good comments because it's coherent with the basis. Are you with me? If I say, oh, and also can I hold your cell phone for a couple of minutes? I don't know where mine is. That doesn't work because the basis does not allow for that. Because we ran into one another. If you go to the ocean and you see someone running up to you and they've got their costume on and they say, listen, is it safe to swim here? And if you know the beach, maybe you came out and you've got your surfboard with you, that they know you know the ocean. You say, okay, don't swim there, swim here. This is safe. That's good communication because the basis, almost dinky where it is obvious. But if I tell that person and everyone standing there, I also want to tell you, actually look quite good in that costume. It fits your body type and everything. You know, I'm starting to use language that's befitting my wife. Because I know she takes a long time before she buys a costume. It's like, should I buy this, should I not? And so when it's only me and her, I can say, you really look fine in that costume. But it does not fit the basis of the stranger. Are you with me? You'll get in trouble for doing that. That's what's going to happen. Now, Jesus does not want us to come to God like he's a stranger on the beach. But we do sometimes. Because we are guilty for, I don't know, an area we lacked this week. We didn't do that great. We were struggling. And so we're hesitant. But he wants us to move from business to family with him. Now, I also want to say this. Is God also judge? Yes. Is he holy? Yes. Is he the God of the armies? Yes. He's all the, is he our friend? Yes. But what is he first? Father. Why? It gives a framework for the other parts of God to fit into correctly. I'll give you an example. Caleb, kom staan gou hier by my toe. Ooh, man is bespaard. Kom staan hier by dad. This is my son. A lekker ou hoor. Hy is a lekker. Am I his friend? Am I his friend? Yes, I am. Is ek sy kosmasjien? Die een wat kos voorsien, the conveyor belt, yes. Am I the one who pays the Netflix? Yes. Am I the one who plays sport with him? Yes. What am I first? Father. And it gives a framework for the rest of the things to fall into place. Okay? So dad can play with me because he's my friend. But then at one stage dad says, nou gaan ons stort. Jy sê nie vir my nie, is my pal. You see the problem? As a parent, you're not a friend first. You're a father or a mother first. And that gives a framework for the rest of your roles to fall into. Are you the provider for your children? Yes, you are. But if you are only seen as an ATM, oh man. First, it's going to get very expensive when they go to university. And they're going to phone you for a relationship when they've got a need. But are you the provider? Yes, but your father first. Thank you, Caleb. Come on, sit. Thank you, this is so lekker as well. So, yeah, give him a clap. Yeah. Jesus says when you come to God, your first standing is Father. That's number one. From there, all the different angles of God is framed from a place of sonship, Father. Revolutionary to the Jewish people. Revolutionary. I want to give you another couple of examples because I'm lingering on this a bit longer because I split my sermon in two. I have friends who had good friends. I know there's a continuum, okay? So on the one side, you've got family relationships. Close friends, they're more like family than business associates. Do you agree with me? Okay. Because with a friend, you also like lower your guard a little bit. You'll tell a friend, like, do I look fat in this? You won't ask just random people, okay? Because they become more family. And then at one stage, the way their gifts overlap is that the one friend had a business opportunity for the other friends. I just want to say business is from God. Being transactional in a marketplace is biblical. It's just not the framework for our relationship with God first. Now, because the two parties were friends, but they were also entering into an agreement, if you are a tenant, you must do what? You must pay your rent. Yeah, but that's my friend. I don't care. You must pay the rent because that's what you agreed upon. As a landlord, if the water is dripping on the bed of your tenant and the toilets are running and flushing in the and the pipe is gebarst, that's your part. There's a transaction. Like, I'm going to pay you to live in a place that a human being can inhabit. Okay? That's a business relationship. Then one side, one party, no longer honored the business agreement. That becomes a very awkward friendship. You know, you go over for dinner, but you owe your friend money. And you said you would pay it. Now what Jesus is doing is he wants to take us away from thinking we are business associates with God first. You know why? You can never be a business associate with God. Because you're always in debt. And that makes it awkward. And you pray, you feel guilty. Jy synig met jou gebed, want jy weet jy skuld. Now Jesus says, listen, I've come in your place. So receive a spirit of adoption. This is your father. Are you with me? Now, what about doing great things for God? Is ek hyper grace man? No. No, listen very carefully. Who takes the best care of the father's farm? His son, who has been living for free on that farm for 25 years before his dad said, here's the bat and you go for it and pass it to your children. Or the guy that he hires from Gauteng that studied. The son. He's been living there for free. He's probably going to work there for a paycheck that's kind of obscured because the thing is, he is a son. He's going to inherit the farm. So when they go to work time, guess who probably works the hardest and the smartest? The son. But he's a son first. He receives. The father says, listen, this whole place is yours. You are my son. I've begotten you. What I have is yours. Let's go do this. And you come around the corner and jy boer laat die bissies bewe. Jy boer yourself onder die managers uit. Why? This is you're not a hireling, it's your place. And you want to leave it to your son. In a similar way, the Christian faith is what you have from God is received. You are received first. And then you say, Father, my life, my gifts, my everything is ours. Let's go tell the world. Let's go serve in church. Now you're doing it from a place of acceptance. Do you guys get that's very important? It's the core of the gospel. You are received, therefore you work with the Father. Every other religion, you work, you hope you will be received at the end, come back, nie as a worm, nie as a arend. Okay? Christianity is unique. It's the only faith where someone came and died in your place for your sins. There's nothing like it out there. There's nothing like it. So we need to move from vendor to father. We need to move from business to family with God. It's very important. how do you know? Like, okay, now we need to locate ourselves here. We need to determine where we are standing. How do I know that I'm standing in the right way with God? Now, I just want to confess here. I knew I was going to be asking you this question. I'm on slide 10, Kenny. So I asked myself this question this week, and you know how many times the world knocked me to come to God in a slightly off-balance way where he was not my father in prayer. I had minor adjustments I had to make in the way I think about God and myself the whole time. You know how helpful that is? You know that my kids, they ask me anything and everything. The questions Reva asks me, it would be ludicrous for any one of you guys to ask me those questions, my three-year-old, like everything. That's a father-child relationship. When you go to your employer, now we're determining our position, your boss is besig. I've heard it many times. Someone said, I'm not going to bother God with this. He's got more important things. You're thinking like an employee. He's your father. If you were on a road trip for 10 hours, go for it. It's dad. One way you locate that you need to shift is your prayers that are formal, maybe repetitive, and few and far in between. Because you know you don't want to bother someone as important as the judge. When you pray, you come to Father. And so if you get that right, prayer becomes more frequent and more free. Okay, so locate yourself. Ask yourself, is your prayer frequent and is it free? And it pops up everywhere, it shows Father. Okay, if not, hey, this is a good way. You are determining your position. Fine, soos jy by my is vanoggend. Ja, so paar. Dankie julle 20. It's also very limited. So with family, you speak in the kitchen, you speak in the shops. It's almost, there's also sometimes family meetings, but you speak about everything and everything in between. Our Father. Here's another thing. If you pick up when there's times of prayer, there's a sense of guilt in your heart. I pick that up sometimes because I am sometimes stars driven. I'm like, what's this? I'm like, okay, here's what's going on. I didn't have a great week. Maybe there was some stuff I wanted to do better for him, but I failed. Now, if I did them correctly, I would have come in his presence with boldness. What is that? Pride. Because I have put into the vending machine what I need to put in to stand before him like this. I'm just like the world. I sense that guilt because I believe I need to build an innings in order for the Father to listen to me. No. Your sonship is received by what Jesus has done. That's where you need to start. These things that you need to do better, bring before him and he will help you. From a place of acceptance and love. It's a big shift between the Lord, the world and the kingdom. Is there a guilt there? Maybe you must realign your heart. What do we tell our kids? Ours. We don't want to hear everything they tell us, but we are very grateful when they tell us everything. Am I right? Vertel net vir my pa. Ek gee nie om wat met jou gebeur nie. Ek gee nie om wat jy gedoen het nie. Kom sê net vir my pa. Why? Because I'm Father. Kom sit eerder by my. Am I saying the Father will never discipline you? No, he will because he loves you. That's what loving fathers does, but there's nothing required for you to enter before his face. That's the standing. Our Father. This is two words. That's why I couldn't do hallowed be your name. Leave it for next week. You're measuring doubting instead of trust and love. How does that work? When you're with your employer or in a business deal, you're like, did they get what I say? Or you're very aware, like, are they going to follow through? And when we approach God like that, we're praying, but we're actually quite nervous. It's like, will he give? Will he hear? Will he not? Very nervous. Did I put in as employee that warrants a paycheck from my employer like this? And so if there's this hesitancy, this almost guilt and unsurety, you are standing before an employer. And so what Jesus is doing is calling us to a halt. When you pray like this, our Father, don't move on. Don't continue if you're not there, because the rest will fall flat. Because you're not going to holler your employer's name and then it's like things down the prayer that we'll get to. He needs to be Father first. This can be hard for us. Some of you here grew up without the Father. Some of you have bad relationship with your Father. Some of you have regrets. You talk about a son and a father, that's a touchy subject. You know what? Get healed in that area. Father God wants to restore that image to you. He loves you so much. But this gate where we stand, we need, it's a narrow one. He needs to be Father, and we need to come through there because it opens up what follows after. For by grace you have been saved, slide 11, through faith. It is not your own doing. It's a gift of God. It's a gift. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children. And so, I played around with this idea of standing in a geographical sense, but it's also a legal sense. When you have placed your love and your faith in Christ, you are giving a different legal stance before God. You are now a son and daughter. I like what Pastor Andre said a couple of weeks ago. You're just like me, guilty but forgiven. So speak to the Father. It's very important. We need to move from transactional to family. Is this something you can apply this week in your prayer life? I hope so. I hope this can work and make a difference in your life before you go to bed tonight. And maybe we can brand this week the big shift. We are shifting from looking at God as a business owner, or even some of his other attributes first, like judge. We start with Father, who is also judge. Father, who's also friend. Let's do that this week. Next week we'll go on. If you think about that first two words of the Lord's Prayer, pray like this: Our Father. What Jesus is also doing is he's reinstating what he told that young man when he asked, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, to love the Lord your God. Because a father is a person in an ideal world, okay, if you had a dad that you love deeply and that loves you very deeply. Amen. So this morning, what I want you to do is just to remain where you are in your seat. We had some ministry during worship. And I want to ask you, can you locate the standing of your heart if you follow these clues? Prayer, is it very episodical? It's only now and then. It's very formal, or you know, yeah, when we eat, there's prayer, or when we put the kids in the bed, there's prayer. If it's only that, please continue with that. If it's only that, it means prayer has been formalized. It's been formalized in your life. We need to move from corporate to familiar, heart to heart. If there's guilt, constant guilt, it means you still feel that you're standing before the judge the whole time. Hey, if you've not responded to the love and grace in Jesus Christ, please do that today. That your sins may be forgiven and your guilt dealt with. But then don't let the enemy weekly and daily make you feel ashamed for imperfections that God is still working with in your life. Amen. The Father wants you on his lap with your wounds. He'll help you tend them. Father, this morning I want to pray for these incredible people that you are just bringing onto your lap, us as a congregation, away from the boardroom into the living room. We are sons and daughters, and we have received adoption by when we say Father. Lord, bring us in as children. Give us this boldness to speak our hearts out in your presence without a shame of everything or anything. Telling you everything from how our day was to the things that concerns us, and then experiencing trust that the Father has heard, and there's a process here. As a church, we pull into this gate, Father first. And we love you. Thank you for being a good Father. And then, Lord, as we grow in faith and in you, teach us the way of the family like a farmer will teach his son, that we may be productive with you as a result of a good and healthy relationship. This we pray, Lord. We want a lot of fruit, Lord, a lot of works in your name, great things done, but because we are loved, not because we are seeking for love. Bring us onto your lap, Father. This morning I want to ask you just to turn to your friend or your spouse, or if you're a father, you can gather your children for a moment and just ask, what is the Lord just causing to pop in your heart? Like, what is he saying to you? This maybe just share with someone a little bit. What are you experiencing on your heart this morning? And if you are comfortable, you can ask to give and receive prayer. If you're here alone and you're sitting alone, just take a moment to meditate on what the Lord has told you. But I'm going to give you 2 or 3 minutes for that. Let's share and pray. Let's go. Thanks, everyone, for bringing your faith this morning. I could see there was a lot of digesting. I'm just encouraged by how faithful God is. We actually just had a nightmare morning when it comes to audio, visual, sound, printers, band. We lost a band member from the first to the second service. But it's amazing how faithful God is. He works, amen, and He will, in a similar way, accomplish His will in your life. I just want to pray for us and send us away. Father, we just want to bless You. This morning, our dad, Lord, I pray that You will teach us well, that we can say with a right standing of heart, our Father, first. We bless You. Amen. Guys, have some coffee and tea.